This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
How many of us, no, I'm not going to say us. Me, I'm lying. Me, I'm not included in this. So I'm going to say you. How many of you have got tattoos? Tattoos. How many of you actually have got tattoos, body art on you? And what has been the reception from your families, from your partners, from while you were dating, now that you're married? What has been the reception from your employers, your colleagues, on you having body art on you? Is there still a stigma surrounded those individuals that have got body art on them? What does religion say about having tattoos? This afternoon, we're going to go into even the historical context of where it started from in the African or on the African continent. And what is the whole purpose of having body art and what it was intended to do, right? And what it was intended for. When we put body art on ourselves, are we fulfilling what it was intended to do? And has that meaning evolved over time? If the meaning prior was about identity and about belonging, do we still have art as a form of expression of identity as well as belonging? Or are you just putting a pretty picture on your body without understanding the history of it? What significance does having a tattoo on your body actually have? Is it just about the picture? Or does it go deeper? If we have to refer to scripture, what does religion say about having tattoos? What have been some of the religions that have had certain body art? So, for example, the top of my head, I'm thinking of henna. What does it say about it? But where does it come from as well? That is the conversation that we're having this afternoon. And may I ask, do you have a tattoo? And what was your intention when you got the tattoo? Why did you get it? And how has it been received? Why did you have it? So it's there are so many historical values on it. In fact, some history saying that it actually started around 400 BC when it comes to tattoos. And many saying that for many thousands of years, tattoos were used or were seen as a way of curing. Listen to this one. Tattoos were seen as a way of curing disease, protecting against spirits, showing affiliation towards certain groups, tribes, and reflecting personalities' traits such as bravery, courage, and social status. They were very simple in design, and they consisted of a pair of straight lines and the arms and legs of the priestesses, and also included the elliptical pattern beneath the navel, which is a belly button area. In fact, what they're saying is that, and research was suggesting, of course, we've got our experts in the studio as well as on the line, the oldest tattoo, apparently, according to research, can be found on an Egyptian mummy. An Egyptian mummy dating back to 2000 BC. Besides this discovery, many other mummified tattoo examples have been revealed and documented. One Egyptologist believes that these tattoos could have symbolized and represented rejuvenation and fertility in women. Tattoos have been found in Egypt, as well as other African countries such as Libya, with many of these tattoos looking as though they were created in order to show commitment and devotion to sun worship. That's the historical context and some of it. Let me welcome, on that note, our guest. And the question is, do you have a tattoo and why did you get it as well? And what has been the reception of those that are around you with this one? Allow me to welcome in the studio, Hopotsa Sparks Komana, who's a tattoo artist, studio owner, who's also a historian who's going to give us a historical context of tattoos in South Africa. And he also co-owned one of the first black-owned tattoo parlors in the country.
Yes, ma'am.
Hopotsa, thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
Thank you.
Dear God, by the end of this conversation, please let me not be tempted. Let me By the end, you know what I'm so scared of? Oh, and you've got a tattoos, eh? You don't have tattoos.
I don't have one, but I want one. But the problem is, it's too expensive, eh?
I don't think it's about the expense. I'm thinking about the fact that I'm not going to be able to erase it once I've got it.
No.
God, please, by the end of this conversation, let me not be swayed. We've also got Ethel Laka, who's a studio owner as well as tattoo artist. Ethel, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Hi, Alfaith. How are you?
I am very well, thanks. And you, ma'am? I'm looking forward to the conversations we're all going to have together. We also have Armand Duplessis, who is an HR manager. Armand, we definitely need you on this conversation. A very good afternoon to you. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Thank you. Thanks, I appreciate you having me.
We've also got Tatlego Majile, who is also another tattoo artist. Yeah, listen, it's a whole tattoo family conversation today. Tatlego, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Thank you for having me.
Perhaps let's start off with an understanding of where it comes from. And Ethel and Hopotso, you can start us off on this conversation when it comes to the African context. I was reading a little bit about, you know, where tattoos come from. Some are saying it dates around 400 BC. Other reports are saying that it dates around 1300 BC, in fact. But to your understanding, Hopotso, let's start off with you. Tattoos, where do they come from? What does it mean? Why were they there in the first place?
Well, based on my research, tattoos started in Africa, but they were, I think, 1000 BC, according to my research, where before I started tattooing or when I showed interest in the love of tattooing. So it was 1000 BC. So in Africa, it wasn't known as tattooing. It was more like body art and decoration of the body.
Okay.
So based on that, They used it in different forms. That's why today you can go to in the Xhosa culture, you find there's body markings in the culture. And when they have a wedding, they there's marking on their bodies. If you go to Namibia, it's still celebrated like that. Then eventually, when the Westerns came to Africa, it was modernized. And they started using tattoo guns, and that's how the whole thing evolved from body art to decorations. It changed into tattooing.
So, tattooing, Ethel, was the term tattooing, right? Mm-hmm. Was taken when we were colonized, but it was a form of a marking when it comes to its existence on the continent. Ethel.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so just give us, and just to add to that historical context from Hopotso's perspective, you're saying that the colonizers are the ones that actually took it and made it tattooing. So before it was called tattooing, what was it?
Yes, in Africa, we have been informing world culture from the beginning of time. So, I mean, he's right that, of course, as time goes on, and then the machines were made quicker. But this was very important, coming of ages of young boys. In Ethiopia, beautiful women marked on their necks, to mark your stature in society as well, whether it was a girl, having her first time menses. So very, very crucial practices in Africa for centuries and centuries.
Sure. And
to cut you, I had actually a client whose great grandmother passed on. I'm not sure if Betty or North Betty, but she had a marking on her forehead. When she passed on, of course, with that, and it had soot. So what happened is, because Zulus or some tribes, you couldn't see the soot, they opted for body markings. But the tribes who were, more of a fairer skin, where you could see the soot, they did that then.
And for you, Katleho, what do you understand about the historical context and the belonging of tattoos?
Yes, I think it started a while ago, without it being called tattooing. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
And as time went by, it evolved. So now we started using machines and all of that. But even today, when I go home to rural areas and all of that, I still see people, having markings and all of that as a form of an expression. You know what I mean?
So if tattoos are a form of expression that dates back to 1,000 or so years or thousands of years, for example, there was a frozen mummy that had markings on his spine, knees, and ankles, right? And then there was mm-hmm. also an Iceman from the area of the Italian-Austrian border in 1991, where they had tattoo patterns. And this date basically pushed it further of 1,000 years in terms of the carbon, dating about 5,200 years ago. So not even only when it comes to 1,300 years ago, but it can actually go back to 5,200 years ago. Historians have also found that there were clay figurines depicting Japanese individuals adorned with elaborate body art dating back to 5,000 BC. So clearly it's been seen as something that is, as to your point, Ethel, a rite of passage, both by male and female gender, given these tattoos, or maybe I should call it art, in order to signify their transition into adulthood. But Armand, what is, and is there a policy when it comes to tattooing or body art in corporate South Africa?
So there's a small fine line between having a law, having a policy, and not discriminating in any form against any form of employee. So yes, a company can have policies, not specifically against tattoos, but about the visibility of those tattoos in certain perspectives. If you take a look at a police officer and somebody that's working with a government institute, it is frowned upon for them to actually have tattoos in that regard. If we take a modern looking in South Africa regarding tattoos in the workplace, you have to see that the older generation has a bit more stigma against tattoos in the workplace as such. So if you take into the youth of today, it's actually starting to have a passage of their way out. So tattoos are starting to be actually a bit more acceptable in the youth, depending on what tattoos it is, where the tattoos are, and obviously, is it visible?
And when it comes to, I mean, even the visibility of it thereof, why is it that we've looked down on it for so long?
Well, it's mostly because of older generations that actually have what is being taught in schools and the way of what is teachers being telling children and the way of parenting styles and so on forth in the workplace. Mostly, somebody is of the stigma that tattoos are wrong. It's not to say that anything is wrong. It's about the visibility of those tattoos. Of your question. So at the end of the day, people are asking, do I want to send out my employee to go and see clients with tattoos showing, and what tattoos it might be, what tattoos might represent, and so on forth.
I have to ask the question, the representation of tattoos, what it actually represents in itself, I have to ask, who informed that representation? Right. And what informed that representation? Armand, we are going to decipher and dissect this conversation as we're with each other, as we've got Katlego Ethel as well as Khopotso in the studio with us. But who informed the perception of body art? So I'll tell you my experience with tattoos, and I'd like your experience as well of tattoos on 0861987000. So growing up, I believed, and I was raised to believe, that tattoos are a sin. Right. So I was brought up believing that tattoos are a sin. And the scripture that was often recited to me for tattooing was Leviticus 19, verse 28. And Leviticus 19, verse 28 says, "Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh or for the dead, nor print or tattoo any marks upon you. I am the Lord." However, just because society approves of something obviously does not make it right in the eyes of God. That was the scripture or the premise under which I was brought up. So I wouldn't even dare ask my mom or my father for a tattoo, because the answer that they would give me is no. And when I would say, but I would really, and then they would refer me back to scripture, which is Leviticus 19, verse 28, "Thou shalt not place tattoos." But the funny thing is that's happening in my household right now is that, and one thing I'm noticing is that even with this presentation of this Leviticus 19, verse 28, I see pastors now with tattoos. I see pastors' kids with tattoos. I see musicians on the pulpit with tattoos. I see choir artists with tattoos. My sister's got about 5 tattoos on her. I don't know how the heck that child does it, but she's got 5 tattoos on her. And then I go and I become really discombobulated because I have to ask the question, Kanti, then the scripture of Leviticus 19 verse 28, does it not pay relevance anymore? The very same scripture I was told, thou shalt not tattoo your body for your dead or print or make any tattoo marks upon you, for I am the Lord your God. Does it no longer work if pastors themselves on the pulpit are now tattooing themselves? What changed over time? Was it a sin? And now is it no longer a sin? Was it against the Bible? And now it's no longer against the Bible? So I even come into this conversation with so many questions because I was told it's not biblical. But the very same people that told me that it's not biblical are the same people on the pulpit, and many of them have got tattoos. So what changed? And I would like pastors as well who are listening to this conversation to add in on 0861-987-000, what changed? And I'm sure, Hopo, so some of your clients come in with the same, because as I'm speaking about this, you're going, yes, yes.
Definitely. I've had a lot of clients coming to me and asking the same question. I'm like, based on the years I've been tattooing and doing my own research, was people never had information. Information was never shared. We only got information that maybe our parents or uncles felt like, no, this is the right information to give you, because they give you that information, but they don't go deep. They don't give you information about tattoos. They don't tell you that, no, actually, you're a bady man or a closer person. There's been body markings in our culture before the Bible was introduced. Such information is not shared, or was never shared, or we were never given that information. So we've been making decisions about tattoos based on the information that was shared, but we're given half information. Then people that are getting tattoos now, they go and do their own research. They study about body markings. They study about body art. And they come to a conclusion knowing that, okay, I have both information from the Bible and the culture. So they make their decisions based on that.
Sure. And we're going to go back to go to the phone, as I know many of you wanting to add into this conversation as well. Ethel, as I said, that's where I come from, right? My historical conundrum with tattooing. Yeah. You know, and I was brought up, and it really is, it's such a,
yes.
It freezes my mind, because the same people that taught me it's a sin are the very same people that are doing it now. I'm very confused. What do you hear from the studio?
You know, what's interesting is that I'm 42 and tattooing about 20 years now. I've had a fair number of Christians who've come to get tattoos. And I was reading a very interesting insert about how even in those years, some Christians actually used to mark themselves. I think I could be wrong. It was a fish symbol that symbolized that they were Christians, because, you know,
they were fishes of men. They were not allowed to have a Bible close by. So they used to mark with, because they used to say that they are fishes of men.
Yes, so probably that. And they really feared being buried in any other sort of way. So it was very important for them to have this marking so that they are buried. And they, of course, proclaim their Christianity. So, yeah, it was religion is debatable.
Yeah, and I'm trying to understand this, Armand, even the perception around it, right? Again, you're absolutely right about corporates don't mind as long as it's not exposed. But who said by it being exposed means that you are a certain type of person? Who informed these perceptions, the stigma, the connotations that are associated with a person that has got body art on them, especially if the body art in itself has been in existence in prehistorical times and was not just associated with gang leaders?
Yeah, sure. So I think a lot of it goes back, as I said, to how the let's say a company owner from that sort would perceive tattoos and so on forth. So it's a lot about from where that owner comes from, and unfortunately to say that most of the successful and large company owners are from a bit of an older generation, and so there might be a culture that's been given through to say, listen, the culture that's being given through is being implemented into my company. It might also be from a Christianity belief or from any form of perspective that I might have with previous people that might have had tattoos. So there's a lot of perspective in that regard. I know that if you go and look at the certain types of restaurants, if you have like a Michelin star restaurant, people does not want even jewelry on some of the waiters and some of the people that's serving them. But if you go and look at a young and hip and vibe environment where young people have a good time, then even a bar lady or even somebody serving might be an acceptable for them to have short sleeves and show all of their tattoos because it is acceptable by the youth these days.
Got you. 0861-987-000. I'll take your calls after the news.
Power Lunch with Faith Mangope. Weekdays 12 to 3 p.m. on Power 98.7.
Now we're talking. It's actually about 26 minutes to go before the top of the hour. We're having a look at tattooing. Body art. How has it transformed over time in terms of its meaning? What was its intention? And how is it received by society? And what about you? Do you have a tattoo? 0861-987-000. As we're with Katlego Machilo, a tattoo artist, Armin Duplessis, HR manager, Ethel Laka, studio owner, as well as a tattoo artist, as well as Khopotso Sparks Komane, who is also who co-owned one of the first black-owned tattoo parlors in the country. I'm going to give you a little bit more history in terms of just of tattooing, by the way, which just to give you a little bit of a jog in terms of where it comes from. So there was a Greek writer called Herodotus who stated that tattoos were a mark of nobility, and not to have them was a testimony of low birth. Many English explorers returned home with tattooed Polynesians to show at fairs, in lecture halls, as well as in museums, to demonstrate the height of European civilization compared to what they would call primitive natives. So do you see already how the meaning of tattooing came in with these English explorers that took the Polynesians and showcased them in museums, demonstrated how they were more civilized than these primitive nations. After some time had passed, tattoos became very popular with the British Navy, with tattoo artists taking residence in almost every British port. In Samoa, tattoos were a symbol of leadership roles and would show their ranks within their society. Much like the British discussed with the Polynesian, the Spaniards, who also were colonizers, were appalled by the depictions of devils and the natives of Peru. In Thailand, did you know that monks would apply tattoos to individuals incorporating magical powers to the design while they were tattooing? In fact, they were saying that these tattoos were known to have significant healing powers to the individuals who received them. To be tattooed by a monk was highly sought after. The South, for examples, were a culture that used tattoos as a significance of their tribe. The designs were primarily spirals and knotworks or complex braids signifying their journey and the paths that they had taken in life. In the Middle East, many individuals were tattooed as a form of spiritual worship. Although in modern times, tattoos are typically done as a form of artistic expression, but the tribes of Indonesia have stayed true to the original style and the symbolism of their tribal affiliation throughout history. Who then informed that tattooing was a form of Satanism or evil or unprofessional? If this was the historical context, who changed the historical context for us? Going to the phone line, Steboho in Brits. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks. And you, sir? Go ahead.
I'm good. Let me just read this one quickly for you. Leviticus 27:28. I forbid you to shave any part of your head or beard or to cut and tattoo yourself as a way of worshipping the dead. So the key word there is as a way of worshipping the dead. There's nothing wrong with a tattoo because you are doing a tattoo or you are coloring yourself, whatever, because you are expressing yourself. It's a form of expression. You understand? So artists mostly express themselves differently. So some will tattoo themselves, some will wear colorful clothes, depending on the person. So there is nothing wrong with tattoo. The issue most of the time that people do is that they omit as a way of worshipping the dead, or in other translation, it says for the dead.
Mm.
So here it's about, why are you having a tattoo? It is the motive behind the tattoo, not the tattoo itself. It is the motive behind. Why are you doing it? Yes, some do it as a satanic a form of worship. It's true. Some do it differently as an expression. Some do it out of not knowing why they're doing it. They just love tattoos. So there's nothing wrong with tattoo as far as Bible education is concerned.
So I wonder, why is it that a lot of times it used to be used against? I mean, for example, Khobos is going to share his story right now, but what happened to the time that he came up with one tattoo? It's almost like somehow we got it twisted.
Yes, people are misreading the Bible. They don't want to interpret. Bible is about interpretation.
Mm.
So if you cannot interpret the Bible, it becomes a problem. And if you can omit words, it's not going to make sense, because that is why I started in 27, where it says shaving your head or beard. You must not shave your head or beard. So who's not shaving? Who's not cutting their head? I cut my hair. I shave my beard. So it means I'm going to hell. You understand? So the issue is, why am I cutting my hair? I want to look good. I want to look fresh. I shave myself because I want to look fresh. That is my motive behind. But if I shave and I cut because I worship the dead, that's a different story altogether.
Got you. Irene in Pretoria, hi.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity.
Absolute pleasure, Mama.
Yes, I just wanted to comment. I think just adding on what my brother was saying is true. There's nothing wrong if one decides to get a tattoo. Because since we are quoting the scripture and the Leviticus, I understand that it's right to understand the scriptures on when coming to who was talking to who. Like, for example, on 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it's clearly stating that you must be able to rightly dividing the scriptures. As I'm saying that, just to add on what my brother was saying, mm-hmm. It's true. There are no issues. There's nothing wrong if one decides to make a tattoo, because we are no longer under law, we are under grace. Even women wearing the trouser or earrings, or it was like for the Old Testament people, it was most of the time it was Moses talking to the Israelites, or God talking directly to the Israelites. But in this church age, in this age that we are now under grace, it's about your heart. You circumcise your heart, not because of the things that you're doing. Because I can be able to wear a tattoo, but inside of me, knowing that I don't believe in maybe God or whoever that I'm believing in. The issue is not about the tattoo. The issue is about your belief inside. What was your intention?
Got you. Thank you very much, Irene, and I really appreciate it. Penyo saying that tattoos are beyond just drawings and I, for one, have four. My favorite one is on my right hand, palm tree representative of or rep in resilience and the endurance it has. It's forever green in nature, and just how it stands tall in unfavorable circumstances. I got it at 17. What happened the first time, Khopotso, when you got a tattoo? Because you were sharing a story about how you were looked down upon.
Yeah, the first time I got a tattoo, I was judged by different people, including my under 13 coach, when I used to still play football, because I got my first tattoo when I was 21.
Okay.
So when he found out that I got a tattoo, his comment was, why would someone get such an evil thing on their body? Where are they going to work? How are they going to be accepted in the community? I'm like, but I'm still me. I'm still Khopotso, the same person that you coached under 13, 15. I'm still the same person. It's just I have a marking on my body. That's the only different thing about me. And as a person, I grow, and I cannot grow to please everyone and anyone in my life. If my motives are good for getting a tattoo, then I'm going to get it, because it puts me on, gets me at peace. I don't have to please the next person. So when he eventually, when he find out that I'm actually a tattoo artist, things just...
Oh, no, I'm sure he went from your, you've gotten something of evil to now, now you're running a trade of evil.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's how me and him ended our relationship, because of I'm a tattoo artist and I'm expressing myself through tattoos.
Sure. I'm going to go back to the phone lines. Muripe in Pretoria North. Hi. Hi, Muripe.
Hey, yes. Hey, how are you?
Good, and you? Go ahead.
Hello to your guest. So I'm a youth pastor.
Oh, you're a youth pastor. Great.
And okay. I'm a senior professional where I work.
Mm.
And also, I'm a gogo. You'll explain to your guest what gogo means. So I have four tattoos. One represents my, my sound.
You're a gogo too?
Yeah, I'm all three, man.
Wow.
So I have four tattoos. One represents my voice because I had a very difficult childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So when I turned 30, I tattooed my voice on my body, on my left. The second tattoo I have represents my faith. The third tattoo I have represents my dead brother. Then the fourth tattoo that I have represents my whole family. Mm-hmm. So what I want to highlight here is that, one, let's start biblically. Historically, biblically, you're talking about the history of a nation, which is Israel versus the Jews, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. They have their own feelings and their own. But when they go into the New Testament, they start revolutionizing themselves. So we have been taught about people that revolutionize themselves. So they say to you, the kingdom of God is about the heart. It's not about how you do things. Hence, in Matthew 15, you get situations of where they start questioning about how your hands are being washed, because they're talking about revolutionizing their faith and their identity to God. So before we go there, we need to think about it very hard. So if I have to go through the Jewish rules, I need to understand them before I can apply them. That's number one. Number two, as a gogo, I'm being told I can't have tattoos. And I ask why. My tattoo, the one about family, talks. My body talks. Remember, as a gogo, your body has languages. It talks.
Mm.
My body talks. My tattoo on my left, on my leg, it talks to me. So when my body starts telling me things and I'm not listening, my tattoo starts hitting me very hard. And this is not some fallacy. I'm telling you what happens
to
me.
What do you mean? How do they hit you, Muripe?
No, I'm getting your body talks to you as a gogo.
Yeah.
So you'll have a headache. Some will have their ears will block in the middle of nowhere. Some will have their bodies being painful. But they know we are taught how to deal with these pains and how to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not listening, my tattoo, it starts hitting like I have pains and needles on my tattoo. Only my tattoo. Because that tattoo represents my family.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's when I know I must listen. It's been happening. So if I'm being told for Bokoko they don't want my tattoos, why Bokoko are they using my tattoo to speak to it? So I think that's the second concept, that spiritually, let's say Christianity-wise, we are really, really taking this too far, because we're not looking at the context of what the Jews were talking about and how the Jews evolutionized themselves. Number two, you're looking at me as a gogo. You're telling me I don't have tattoos, but Bokoko, they are talking to me through my tattoo. So, and every time they talk to me and I listen, actually something good happens. So what I'm saying is that my tattoo represents something very big in my life. I didn't grow up well. My tattoo helped me. Not my tattoo only. My tattoo helped me as I was talking to my family, explaining it to them what it means to me. And it helped me. The second one, obviously, as I said, is my faith. My faith as a youth pastor, obviously, my tattoo says life is but a passing glance. Seek him while you have a chance. We are made not by faith until we see the great day. Whether you believe in the sun or God or anything, all of us, when we die, we believe that we're going to see something.
I got you, Muripe. I got a run, sir. Let me go to Gege in Northcliffe. Hi.
I'm well. Are you well?
Very well. Thanks to you.
G-O-O-D, Nana. You know what, Nana? These days, unfortunate enough, today's scripture we were reading at church is Amos 8-9. There's somewhere where it says, during the last times, you are going to try to hear the word of God and we'll never find it. I'm not going to quote to support my argument on the tattoos. I'm not going to quote. I like the scripture that you quoted, because when I teach the catechism, I quote it to the young children so that they mustn't make tattoos. I'm not going to
support. Oh, so you are you not in support of tattoos, okay?
No, no, I'm not.
Okay,
I'm not, okay. And I have reasons. I quote the scripture.
What are your reasons?
Yeah, I'm giving you my reasons. I'm not going to quote any scripture to support that scripture. Usually, I did theology, I did science. Usually, we use topology to support scripture from previous scripture to New Testament. But what I need to every Christian, every priest, or whoever was supporting, was saying tattoo, there's nothing wrong with tattoo. Be it Castuana, be it Christianity, when you cut your body and there's blood coming out, you are making a covenant. I'll remind them again with the scriptures, Abraham, when he was sending somebody to go and get Isaac a Mossad. You know, they for them to do a covenant, ukata wakata, omungutale zoholaka kota, omungutale zoholaka, but they're together, they exchange a mad. Mo utula mad, even the African culture says, ha utula mad, they're making a covenant. If the tattoo, nesna madia tuluhan, nana, I would say definitely there's nothing. But today I need them to go and read that Genesis 9:23.
So what are they making a covenant with, though, Kik?
I get my it born. Omunzari and we ate it among women. We ate the person of Nakuta, Kit Christo, or nearly whatever. But as long as when we eat it among. Didn't he say that?
So it's about making a covenant with somebody, whether it's a family or it's a design.
Whatever, they are making a covenant. In a Christian way, even in science, everything, Madi, even in science, how about the genes, how about the genetic, how follow about the genetic system of Turiakai? How do Madi?
I hear you, Gege. Ethel, what do you say to the... And you know what? I'm so glad that we've got different views that are coming on board when it comes to tattooing. Saying that, you know, because the tattoo in itself, you when you do... And look, I've never had a tattoo before, but that there's blood that is involved, and because of that, there's a covenant that is being made. Ethel?
Wow. Very, very interesting views, I must say. Look, religion... There's been a lot of atrocities done, in my view, around that word, let's put it that way. And I think that it's good when you believe in what you believe in, but to not be imposive of that to other people in society. I have very little to contribute when it comes to, you know, how it's perceived, you know, regarding religion and if it's a covenant or not. But I'm really tending to agree with the fact of, look, it's really about motive and why you do the things you do, and not really about, you know, about your faith. It's really the motive behind it.
And for you as well, Khopotsa, can you imagine that it and does it involve, and how much blood does it involve?
There's hardly any blood.
Okay, educate us now. Educate us about how it actually works. Is there blood or is there not?
There's a... Your tattoo whips. So there's a small amount of blood. A good tattoo artist that knows how to tattoo will tell you that. Because how she puts it, it's like, no, there's going to be a big cut and there's
going to be a gash.
Then there's going to be blood all over. But there's no such thing. And if you check, if you go on Ethel or my tattoos, if I'm going live while I'm busy tattooing, you see that there's no blood. If you go to Kat's thingy, Instagram page, you see, because we like taking pictures or videos, short clips, so they can experience the process of getting a tattoo. So that you can see that, no, it's actually not that bad. But I understand. When it comes to religion, I agree with Ethel. I keep my distance, because you're going to end up fighting with a lot of people over unnecessary things. Because at the end of the day, I don't go stand on the street and say, come get a tattoo with me. Come with me, I'm going to tattoo you. An individual, they come to me or they contact me and say, no, I saw your work. I'm interested in getting your work from you. Then we sit down and we discuss your design. Why are you getting a tattoo? Give me your reasons. Play around with ideas. Then I do a sketch for you. Then we get the tattoo done.
Help me out there, Armand. Is there a way of being able to... you're saying that a lot of these misconceptions and archaic kind of notions around tattoos in the corporate space come from the older generation. Now, the unfortunate part is that the older generations are the ones that are running a lot of these corporates, right? They are there, and then therefore the policy is informed by their lived experiences as well as their perceptions of life. Is there a way, especially for the younger generation coming up, to change these perceptions?
So, Faith, yes, I do think there is. It's already busy changing. A lot of new people starting new companies has a bit of a wider perspective regarding tattoos and piercings and so on and forth, which becomes a bit more acceptable over the long run. But unfortunately, there is still the fact that we need to discuss the possibility of how are we going to change this perspective that's coming from generation to generation. And how we are going to change that perspective is by learning a bit more about what tattoos actually stand for. Tattoos is not necessarily always to say that it's wrong or right, depending on what the meaning of that tattoo is. I've got a lot of friends and I've got a lot of family that is actually in professional business, and that are currently in professional ways and means in some form of companies. It's waitering or any form of corporate governance, and their tattoos are accepted in the current companies of today. It's not necessary to say that there will always be a problem of tattoos in certain companies, but the problem with tattoos is busy starting off getting a new perspective, especially South Africa.
Yeah, it's very interesting. As I said, when you look at the historical context of it, right, the markings in itself, whether you're looking at it from, the Celts or the Greeks who did it as a form of showing nobility, or you go to the monks, you go to the Japanese who were doing it, you go to Africa where it's been done a lot. It's been shown as a form of being able to identify yourself and to which tribe, and also as a means of celebrating your rite of passage into adulthood. So if you go into the historical context of it, I just wonder where it got perverted. But when you read further on it, it got perverted when the British got a hold of it, and then they had to display certain it's not me, it's history. The British got a hold of it, and then they had to make displays of the people that were Polynesian people. Particularly when they saw the Polynesian people, they used to display them in the marketplace, and then they used to show how they are primitive, whereas they themselves as Europeans are more civilized. So it goes back to who informed the history that we are consuming and implementing every single day. I'm going to go to Dikeledi before I come to you as well, Ethel. Dikeledi Siloa, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks, and you? Go ahead.
Good, thank you. I think, I've got a couple of tattoos, and when I went and I got them, it was before I even started my process to be a traditional healer. It was out of who I am as a person, and it's very artistic for me. Yes, they're very controversial, but there are things that I feel communicate who I am as a person, my belief system, and my artistry as well. And I navigate through the professional space perfectly fine, whether it's displayed or not. I have also looked at my tattoos and said, why am I getting this? Why am I writing this? Does it resonate with me? Can I, at the end of the day, 50 years from now, be sitting with my own grandchildren and say, this is why I got it, and I still stand by it? And, I sometimes think that, to some extent, religion is a bit restrictive in terms of what it is. I've got, just to go through the five that I do have, one is, I met God and she's black. And that is my view of seeing myself as a black woman and how I identify as a young black woman. A woman's place is in the struggle, power with the fight for femininity. My activism is my race to the planet. I'm feminist. And these are things that resonate with me. And these are things that I say I'm not going to cover up. And I still plan to get a few more. I plan to get my mother's name with an anchor because I think that, ancestrally speaking, she keeps me grounded. And this is why I say it's a form of expression that it really does depend on the messaging. But we shouldn't take it as if it's something demonic or we are branding ourselves. In a way, yes, we are, but we are communicating a message of who we are, what we stand for, and what speaks to us and we want to put out into the world. And yeah, that is what is most important.
Tikile, let me ask you, you are the Tikile who's got the public official profile. I'm just asking. Here we go. So in your profile, right, because your profile is, it deals with people, right? So you in politics. Mm. In the political space, how do you know, and have they seen your tattoos, and have your colleagues seen your tattoos, and when they do, what's been the reception from it? Because I mean, as a public figure, I'm sure there's also like a how keep public official mara una li tattoo.
They've seen it. Sometimes they're all coming, they're like, oh, this is so cool. Some say very interesting, maybe you should tell me the story behind it. Some people obviously will keep their remarks to themselves. I mean, nobody really likes unsolicited advice in this regard, so it's completely up to you. But it's who I am. So I've never hidden it, so it's never an actual surprise when anybody sees it. I just don't flaunt it consistently in everybody's face. Mm. But it's more about listen to what I'm saying, listen to what we're trying to deal with and an issue, and less about how my representation of my arm might look. And that is what we need to communicate, is there's the private, there's the individual, and there's the professional human being in every aspect. And I've never really gotten any issues in regards to it. So it's something that I wear very proudly, in fact.
Love it. And when we come back from the news, I see your call as well, Refilio. Women, ladies, those who've got tattoos, do you get perceived differently by society and by men, your male counterparts or your female counterparts? Are you seen as more or less feminine for having a tattoo? Men, would you date or are you married to a woman with a tattoo? How do you perceive women with tattoos? Ladies, would you trust a man? Do you see a man with a tattoo as somebody who's a responsible man, a responsible, good human being? How do relationships now work with a tattooed partner? I'll take your calls after this.
Power Lunch with Faith Mangope, weekdays 12 to 3 p.m. on Power 98.7.
We're going to be wrapping up with our guest very soon regarding tattooing. And I asked women, ladies, if your man has got a tattoo, what is your view of that man? Do you trust them? Do you trust them more? Do you trust them less? How are the relationship dynamics? Would you date a man or be with a man or marry a man who's got a tattoo? And then men, I'll ask you the same thing. What are your views about a woman with a tattoo? Do you find her more feminine, less feminine? Do you find her more attractive, less attractive? Where is it that the male-female dynamics, when they come into relationships, what are your views on it? I'm going to go to I'm going to go to the phone lines in a moment, but I want to read something else. Nteteleli saying that I would never have married my wife had she had a tattoo, displayed or hidden. The beauty of a woman diminishes the minute I see a tattoo on her. No matter how small, it becomes the only thing that I see. Wow. And you know what I do? I also appreciate the fact that you guys are coming in with your open and your honest perspectives, because otherwise it wouldn't work, the conversation that we're having. Alman Mutlala saying that, I'm not going to lie, many men at Groove see women with tattoos as a woman they can sleep with on a wine night stand. Especially they go for the ones with the tattoos above the bum. And we need to have these conversations, right? Are there misconceptions and connotations about people with tattoos? Ladies, when you see a man with a tattoo, do you think, ah, oh, there goes the father of my children? Or do you think, hey, here I'm going to be knocked? What's your view? As we're continuing with Katleho Majile, Armin Duplessis, Ethel Laka, as well as Khopotso Sparks Komana, who joins us in the studio. But yeah, Katleho, from the clients that you've seen, And especially when it comes to women and men, what has been the perception around a woman getting a tattoo and how she'll be perceived by other women or other men, and a man getting a tattoo and how she'd be and how he would be perceived?
Okay, so I just think there's two sides to everything, you know. A lot of times when men see women with tattoos, some see other things. They get turned on and all of that, you know. And then with others, they see a woman who they cannot respect, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it goes both ways. It all depends on the individual, how they see tattoos, you know.
So it is an individualistic thing. But what have you found as well, Khopotso, with the clients that you're getting?
Well, with most of my clients, I feel like they judgmental. I mean, if you're a woman, you need to be able to freely express yourself.
Mm.
If you want to put a tattoo on your forehead, let it be. As a man, I need to respect you enough to say no. You know and understand yourself.
Mm.
And you can pretty much do what makes you happy. And if you're happy, and I like the fact that you're happy, and I love you for the person that you are, then I'm going to see you pass the tattoo. So most men, they base their judgment based on things. I feel like the culture, where how they were raised, they told that, no, a woman can't do such. A woman can't get a tattoo. A woman can be her own boss. A woman can do 1, 2, 3. But things have changed. Women are leaders today. Women can pretty much do whatever they want, and they can love whoever they want to love, and they can be with whoever they feel like they can be with and be happy at it.
Got you. Yeah. Ethel, you're a woman with a tattoo. So, how has been the reception?
When I started, we didn't have many of me, black girls with tattoos on. It's very interesting that it is a society's perspective. You know, you'd go to a store and you've got a guy in front of you that has a lot of tattoos. And interestingly, they don't approach the guy to say, what if you don't want them anymore? Or, you know, it's a woman that has to answer. And I used to think, but you've just let the guy in front of me walk with tattoos. And yet, as a woman, I've got to answer to the tailor that, wow, what if you don't want them one day? How are you going to look when you're older? So it just shows how, you know, and a lot of times society feels like they still, you know, should have ownership of our bodies as women.
I would like your take. Rufilo in Pretoria, hi.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say what Ethel is saying, that the society, at the end of the day, not just with tattoos, likes to police what women should do with their bodies. But my comment specifically is when I have like 8 of them and a nose piercing. Firstly, I was considered wild. But the first thing people ask me is, what does my husband think? Or did I get permission from him to get
Oh, they actually asked you if you got permission from your husband.
Yeah, and what does he think? Oh, if I say I think I want another one, what is he going to say? Why does he have to say anything about my body? I don't get it.
Sure.
And even the thing of meaning, for me, that question actually quite irritates me, because why does it have to have meaning? I mean, why must I explain everything? You cut your hair, you put clothes on, you do piercings. Are those not, are those holy things? Because we are born without clothes, without funny haircuts and stuff. So we like policing women at the end of the day. That's what it boils down to.
Well, thank you very much for sharing, Rufilo. I much appreciate it. Lowen Sosanguve, hi.
Faith.
Yes, sir.
I don't have a problem dating a woman with tattoo, or I can marry her. I don't have a problem. I only have a problem. Where is the tattoo? Because of I can't marry Faith if he does not respect her body. If ever now is going to go to the tattoo shop and then he shows his private part where they put the tattoo next to her, how can I trust that kind of a person? And then,
oh, it's about where the tattoo is. So if my tattoo is on my shoulder or shab.
You see, if ever your tattoo is just on your shoulder, and then interpretation of that tattoo is very important to me. If now you put the name of your kid here, I don't have a problem. If you put somebody's going to be remembered in your life, I don't have a problem. But if you put a dragon, now I have to question myself. Am I not in a satanism department here? But the most important part, as a man, mostly of us, I can't speak for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there is no man, Faith, who wants to be with a woman who does not respect his part. Firstly, the private part and the breast part. That is why it's very important note whereby we only note that. If I find somebody on a breast that have a tattoo, it's going to be one night stand, believe me.
Yeah. The thing is that the men in the studio are laughing. You know, I wish I had cameras in the studio to show you how crazy it is right now. Butsang and Centurion, hi.
I say good afternoon and afternoon to your camera. I'm laughing. I'm sorry, man. I'm laughing. You know, two things quickly. The last speaker is getting so emotional talking about women showing their private parts. Patriarchy has kicked into this topic. When a woman goes to a doctor,
they show shows a doctor.
What is he saying about that? Whether it's for mama glands or for what? Or for pap smear? They show their private parts. What is he saying about that? But my view is, when I am attracted to a person, I don't care whether you've got 100 tattoos or not. I look at the person. It's your choice to have tattoos. Some people will tell you, I don't date people with weeds. Some will say, I don't date yellow bones. Some will say, I don't date people with... You don't want to. You pass. You go to the next person and try and, you know, form yours. But also, you had a speaker who spoke about blood earlier on, and saying when you cut, blood comes out, no matter how little it is. That is not true. I think the gentleman should have informed himself. These days, you get a permanent ink tattoo that was used even in the ancient and African times, whereby there's no cut, there's no needle.
Yeah,
it's permanent. And there's a history to tattoos, whether it's in Asia or it's in Africa. There's a history to it. The British, as you correctly said, distorted and brainwashed us. I will not have a tattoo myself. I'm too black for that. I'm too dark. It doesn't look nice. I will not have it. I don't like it. But I will not judge people who opt and choose to have tattoos on their bodies. The same as people who choose to have dreadlocks or who choose to go bald or to have afro hair. I will not, you know, judge those people. I will not beat myself. But anybody who wants to have a tattoo is their choice.
Got you. Mike, hi. Mike.
Hi. I'm not judging anybody.
When on my let me tell you about the phone box. On my phone box, ne? I've got here, imagine a grandmother with tattoos. That's what I've got for you, Mike.
I'm coming there. Mm. But no, I'm not going to say anything to these young ladies about their choices. But imagine, please, man. Let's be honest. Why is it? You know, we have just... this will be too free and accept everything. I'm afraid to. The tattoos today must just go away, man. How?
I guys, no, man. You know, you are all entertaining. I really do. I love you so much, and I love conversing with you. At the end of the day, I think it comes down to your personal choice, and also remembering that you've got complete autonomy over your body. That is it. And just a reminder, as we wrap up with our guest, just a reminder for you. When I was giving you the historical context of tattooing and body art, I was sharing it so that we can understand that there was nothing satanic or evil about it. In fact, it was used as a sign of showing those that are noble versus those that are not. Those that are fertile versus those that are not. Those that belong to a certain tribe, those that belong to a certain grouping of people, it's actually more than anything else, something that was used to be elevated. What happened was when the world got colonized, the continent got colonized, countries got colonized by the British, by the Spaniards, by the Europeans, all those who do not understand the historical context of it. They colonized, and then they distorted historical fact. And sometimes when we distort historical fact, we fail to understand what was the true meaning of it. So before we judge, let's go back to history and say, what was it meant for? In some cultures, by the way, it meant you were royalty. So if you've got a tattoo, you have to ask yourself who's royal and who's not. But I think more than anything else, we need to go back and understand just how much the world was colonized. And remember, the very same people who colonized us and perverted our history are the very same people that are running something called tattoo parlors today with the very same tattoo gun. And they're selling it back to you. The very same people who said it was evil and were colonized you, they are selling it back to you. So be careful when it comes to history. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much, Hopazang. Thank you very much, Katlego. Thank you, Armand. Thank you, Ethel. And thank you to you, fam. I couldn't take all your calls, but wow. Thank you for the conversation, as always. Let's keep talking.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.